Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
At the invitation of President Trump, let's go to Washington, May 17, 2026, and celebrate with our fellow patriots the rededication of America as one nation under God. I'm going to explain why this is really such a big deal. Today, we'll hear from our president, our secretary of war, and our secretary of state express their Christian faith in affirmation that Christ is king. Now, does the return of Christians into American politics speaking as boldly and frankly and clearly about their faith as did our founders reflect a broader move of God among his people? We know that revival comes from above, but that would be from the kingdom of God. It does not come from government any more than our divine rights do. Our Lord Jesus Christ has extended the offer of a continuation under God, under him. But now, we've got to answer the next critical question. And what is the question that's set before his remnant today? And what will be your answer? The first question we had to answer was, who is king? And you saw the election shape up around that question right there toward the end. We answered right in 2024 and received our Josiah of sorts, the reformer king, who is pointing America back under God, returning us to our roots. What is the second question? Will the remnant return to the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein? Election integrity. It's essential to measuring the spiritual temperature of America's church today. Right now, many of us sense that the church is warming up to its first love. But will the people rise in another election and numbers too big to rig for the midterms? My friend, listen up. This is an important massage today. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
At the invitation of President Trump, let's go to Washington, May 17, 2026, and celebrate the rededication of America as one nation under God. Listen to Trump's invitation.
I'm pleased to announce that on May 17, 2026, that we're inviting Americans from all across the country to come together on our national mall to pray, to give thanks, and rededicate America as one nation under God.
My friend, this is really a big deal. You'll understand that if you listen carefully. And now listen to our Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth.
All power, all honor, and all glory belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is King.
And then our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio.
The ability to live alongside our Creator for all time. That is the purpose of our life, to grow closer in our relationship and to accept the free gift of salvation offered to us by Jesus Christ.
This is a wonderful and welcome development. And it is likewise certain that it represents an offer from God above. But there is one question the prophet posed to another ancient generation of believers who, like we, were blessed with a faithful leadership that would turn them back to God. And we must answer this next question rightly because they didn't. If you want to rightly understand the significance of the shift that has occurred in politics and religion, you need to understand the significance that, as we approached the November 2024 election, God put a test to each party on the question, who is king, Jesus Christ or the government? Where do our rights originate and in whose hands are they preserved? Well, the party that passed the test won the election. To appreciate the significance of our president's invitation to celebrate the rededication of America as one nation under God, you need to understand this biblical principle and the truth about God and nations. Now, God made man in his image and likeness and set him over the earth to have the dominion over all its creatures and resources. God was king, and all mankind, his subjects, were appointed as his stewards over the earth. This was the kingdom of man, and God was the king. Adam succumbed to the temptation of Satan to rebel against God's rule, and finally became so corrupt, humankind did, that God repented that he'd even made man and determined to destroy him from off the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God repented of the evil he had determined upon all mankind and saved Noah and his family and enough creatures of the planet to replenish the earth on the other side of the flood. When Noah and his family left the ark, God renewed his covenant with humanity and commanded them to spread out across the land and replenish the earth. Well, over time, a man named Nimrod rose to power and great influence and made himself king in the place of God. He led mankind to follow him in rebellion, and he founded the first human kingdom outside of God's rule, headquartered in a city he called Babel, and organized to defy God's rule. The people created synthetic building materials, bricks for stone and slime for mortar, which is significant, and they used their synthetics to build a tower to reach into heaven in their intention to overthrow the rule of God. This tower has become a symbol for man's refusal to submit to the rule of God and their push for a one-world global government. God destroyed their tower. He divided the people by language and borders. These people grew, spread out over the earth, creating kingdoms, and thus arose the kingdoms of men. From this time forward, God chose this or that kingdom of men to receive the kingdom of God or the rule of God over the kingdoms of men. God chose Abraham to establish his own kingdom among men, separated from the kingdoms of this world, that would serve as the kingdom through and by which he would rule over the kingdoms of men. He named it Israel. Now, God elevated Israel above all the kingdoms of the world and revealed himself to the world through his relationship with his people and his nation. His nation was shamefully seduced by its neighbors to worship their idols and went on shamelessly in their rebellion until God determined he would cast them off and turn the kingdom over to the Gentiles. He gave the kingdom to Babylon, ancient Babel. Wow. Nimrod's rebellious city, the land of modern-day Iraq, by the way. He made Babylon the head of the nations of the earth, appointed over it a man named Nebuchadnezzar, his servant, who acknowledged the God of Israel as the only true God. He gave that king a dream showing that the kingdom he gave to Nebuchadnezzar would pass to other kings, and the first would be Cyrus, and he called him his shepherd. He showed Nebuchadnezzar that the kingdom would pass from Cyrus' empire to a third, a weaker empire, under a ruler that God would not even name or recognize by name, and that after that, it would be given to a fourth kingdom. Now, when Babylon received a king who refused to acknowledge that the God of Israel is king and that he gives the kingdom to the nation of his choosing, he took it away from Babylon, Iraq, and gave it to Persia's king Cyrus, who acknowledged the God of Israel, as did Nebuchadnezzar. This was in the land of modern-day Iran. Interesting. When Persia became vile and deified their king and refused to acknowledge the God of Israel, well, God took the kingdom from Persia, and this is when the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them fell into the power of Satan, the prince of this world, through the services of Alexander, a self-styled son of Zeus. Alexander never acknowledged the rule of the God of Israel, and he was cut off in his pride, and like his progenitor Nimrod, his kingdom was divided, broken, and this was the beginning of Grecia. The Grecian Empire hobbled along for about three centuries, while the four divisions of Alexander's kingdom vied for control of the dominion, until finally Rome began to ascend to power. And during the transition from the third kingdom prophesied in Nebuchadnezzar's dream to the coming of the fourth kingdom that he envisioned, Jesus Christ came into the world in the flesh. He entered the world when Satan presided as prince of this world, and the kingdoms of this world and their glory had been given to him. At this time, the principalities and powers of the earth were given to the prince of this world. But Jesus bound Satan and spoiled his house. That is, the principalities and powers that Satan held as prince of this world were taken from him by Jesus Christ, and all was turned over to Christ Jesus the King. Jesus cast out Satan, according to his own word. He was demoted from being prince of this world, and then Jesus took his place as prince of the kings of the earth. That's what the Bible says. Jesus offered to restore the kingdom to Israel, which, remember, is God's rule of the earth through the nation of his choosing. But she refused. He would, but she would not. Therefore, the times of the Gentiles were extended, and they continue even today. And Jesus promised that he would give the kingdom to a nation, bringing forth the fruit of it. All of this is in the Bible. The fruit of the kingdom may be summarized as repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, America is that Gentile nation that acknowledges God of Israel as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is something affirmed when a nation declares that Jesus is the Christ of God and Christ is King of the earth, Prince over all the rulers of the earth. Remember, the first Gentile nation to receive the kingdom kept it only so long as its rulers affirmed that God is king and that he gives the kingdom to whatever nation he chooses. Each time the kingdom was taken from one nation and given to another, it happened because that nation forgot God. America acknowledged the gospel of the kingdom, the declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came into the world in flesh, died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and arose from the dead according to the scriptures, and was seen in his resurrected body alive. He was observed as he ascended into heaven, and there he has taken his place at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he rules heaven and earth. He gives the kingdom of God to whomever he chooses. And the criteria may be reduced to the same formula Christ used with the first Gentile nation to receive it. Know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Daniel 4:17, 25, and 32. Get my book, God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. For as long as I can, I'm offering this book for only $10. It's a 500-plus page hardbound copy, large letter edition, high-end binding, Smithsonian, for those who appreciate what that means, high-quality paper, all that. You can right now get a copy for about the price you would pay for a digital version, about 10 bucks. Now, you'll need to purchase it from our bookstore to get that price. Visit GodsWar2020.com. To avoid shipping charges, visit me at the church. Otherwise, you'll need to cover the shipping costs. You can also get it as an EPUB or Mobi, you know, PDFI, all that kind of stuff for your digital book readers, wherever books are sold. Search God's War, include my last name, Scheidbach, S-C-H-E-I-D-B-A-C-H, and get it today. Understand that the book of Daniel is the documentation of the first transition of the kingdom after it was taken from Israel and given to the Gentiles. It reveals the core principle of divine action on the question of to whom he grants the kingdom. The essential principle is this: the ruler must acknowledge the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is Israel, who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he has been given all power in heaven and in earth. Christ has come in the flesh, and Christ Jesus is prince over all the kings of the earth, and the only superpower on the earth today, where its leader repeatedly affirms that Christ is king, is President Donald J. Trump. You're never going to hear a Christian hater Xi talk like that, or even Putin, who subordinates him to the Russian state church, or Meany Khamenei, who subordinates him to Muhammad and denies his deity as God manifests in the flesh and violently opposes the whole idea of crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. So these nations are refused as Antichrist. By the way, Israel affirms all that we do with regard to Christ, but with one critical difference that makes a difference. The Orthodox Jew denies that Christ has come in the flesh and that the Father has named him Jesus. And for this reason, the Jew is Antichrist and so enemies of the gospel. But nevertheless, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Friend, please hear what the Spirit says to you right now. America hangs on to the kingdom only by a thread. It's a scarlet thread. All that tethers this nation to Christ's kingdom is his cross and the affirmation in our pledge that we are one nation under God. Or as Patrick Henry said, we are a nation not of religion, but of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you will do all in your power to receive our president's invitation to join him on the National Mall to pray and rededicate this nation as one nation under God. Now, let what the president discerns as the essential root of this nation's glory and power to be affirmed by the people through this grand gesture on America's 250th birthday. God bless you, my friends. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. Go to www.books@dbp.com. Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and he doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singing "The Enemy Is on the March," an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. The first question we had to answer was, who is king, Christ or men? We answered right in 2024, received our Josiah, the reformer king, who's pointing America back to come to God or come under God. What is the second question? It's this: will the remnant return to the old paths? Where is the good way and walk therein? Now, Josiah was the last ruler of Israel as an independent nation. He was the last king of Israel as a holder of the kingdom. God prophesied concerning Josiah by name, by the way, 300 years before he became king, saying he would tear down the abominable altars of the wicked, ungrateful King Jeroboam. Very interesting that at the time that God divided Israel into two kingdoms, Judah and Israel, he gave a prophecy concerning the last king of Judah as a rebuke against the first king of Israel anyway, and pointed to the sin that was their destruction. After Josiah died, the kingdom was formally transferred to Nebuchadnezzar, and from then on, the kings of Judah were subject to a foreign Gentile king, first of Babylon, then Persia, and then of Grecia, with Satan as prince of the world, and finally, under the fourth kingdom, with Christ as prince of the kings of the earth, under whatever Gentile nation he chooses to give the kingdom of God to rule the kingdoms of the earth under his ordaining authority. By the way, the world really hates this truth, Psalm 2. Josiah instituted many critical reforms. He eliminated the high places in which the Jews worshiped Jehovah after the pattern of pagan practices in their worship of Baal. And get my book, The New Cart Church. He broke down the idols and the temples constructed to the pagan gods. He stopped the sacrifice of babies to Moloch and restored the scripture to its rightful place in the nation. And by the way, he removed the houses of the Sodomites, bathhouses, that were built around the house of the Lord. He did not give them, the Sodomites, a public place in his government. Josiah answered the first question. Who rules Judah, God or men? Josiah ruled according to the words of God and not according to the words of men. The political reforms of Josiah, however, were insufficient without a corresponding revival of the heart of God's remnant in the land. Now, Jeremiah was the prophet of the land during this time. And after all his pleading with the people, he assessed their spiritual apathy and their willingness to accept lying prophets. He offered revival, explaining what they would need to do to avoid being driven off of their land and loss of their liberties and freedoms. "Thus saith the Lord," he said, "stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Well, sadly, they answered like this. They said, "We will not walk therein." That was their loss. The remnant saved from God's judgment on Judah was offered a path that would have allowed them to remain in the promised land and prosper, even to live under their own rules and laws, but they refused this also, and they went into Egypt, where they were destroyed. Now, Egypt is a type of the world in the Bible. The remnant refused to obey the Lord, who commands us today to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The outstanding question for the remnant that must be answered today is, will the people repent? Will the remnant humble themselves to the Lord, submit to God, resist the devil? Or will they stubbornly refuse the old paths, as did Judah and in Jeremiah's day? Will they lean on the way of the world and not follow the way of the Word? And we're enjoying the political reforms under the leadership of our Josiah Light, but we know that revival comes from the people's response to God, not to their leaders. By all means, let us rejoice at the political reforms and accept them. It's a blessing from God. It is a show of His favor upon our nation and a reaching of His hand to us. But it will avail nothing if the people don't repent toward God in their faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the remnant will not turn their affections from the world and to the Word, from the flesh and to the Lord Jesus, I can tell you right now what will happen. First, if people do not generally repent and turn back to God, well, we're going to face God's divine judgment. If the remnant that's remaining refuses to humble themselves to God in that judgment, well, they will likewise be destroyed. Election integrity, my friend, is the essential thing to get a true measurement of the spiritual temperature of America's church today. Now, right now, many of us sense that the church is warming up to its first love. But will the people rise in another election in numbers too big to rig? The children of disobedience are in full panic mode. They've tried everything short of armed insurrection, and that's been called for lately by this Antifa radical who's been, thankfully, arrested. And that tells us that our Josiah government right now will draw the line there and take effective action. The children of disobedience rage against law and order when the law upholds our Christian values and the order conforms to biblical principles and precepts. Like marriage is defined by a man marrying a woman. Anyway, the people must demand our Senate bust the filibuster and pass the Save America Act. And this will be a major test of whether the children of obedience have the will to prevail against the children of disobedience. You know, the ones who are trying to take the kingdom by force with violence. Every Christian patriot must rise up in numbers sufficient to overwhelm the children of disobedience today. We cannot be quiet about this. We must demand election integrity, and I mean with peaceful protest and pressure, proof of citizenship to register, and proof of identity by photo identification to vote. And furthermore, voting must happen on one day, and we've got to get rid of these cursed, totally hackable machines. Did you know that Aaron Burr, the guy that killed Alexander Hamilton, he's the guy that came up with the filibuster idea as a vice president. The Democrats have used it to slow down and in some cases to defeat virtually every positive law that supports freedom, liberty, and justice. But we did, through the hindrance and interference, finally succeed at ending the whole KKK era and Jim Crow and segregation, all of it. The word filibuster actually means pirate, interestingly enough, or piracy. And it is piracy. What does it steal? It steals the will of the American people. The Democrats used it to resist the Civil Rights Act, yeah. At the very least, the Senate must return to the standing or talking filibuster and require these devils stand before the American people and be watched explaining why they are against proof of citizenship to register and proof of identity to vote. These issues are stronger than 80-20 in our country right now. The people want this done. Let the people see who wants to cancel the people's right of consent of the governed. And look, any monkey business, you know, counting ballots beyond voting day, removing observers and counting without observers, that kind of thing, hauling in boxes of ballots after polls close, pulling boxes of ballots out from under tables, hidden under their the tablecloth and so on. This nonsense, if any of that goes on, it must trigger an automatic cancellation of those votes from the tally, and arrests must be done, and that's a period on that thing. Listen. Those who committed these atrocities must be punished severely. The theft of an American's vote must be met with severe penalties. How do you measure the cost to the American people and to this nation of the theft of the right of consent? The government receives its right to legitimate rule from the legitimate consent of the governed. Otherwise, the rule is taken by force, by lying, by cheating, like what happened in 2020. Every Christian who cares about freedom and liberty knows freedom comes from truth and liberty from the Spirit of the Lord. So get the truth out there, my fellow patriot, and be filled with the Spirit. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me from our website, brainmassage.net. Again, that's brainmassage.net. Find the Contact Us button and fill in the form there and send me a message. And always respond to my email messages that I receive from our radio show. Likewise, our phone calls, if you ask me to. Now, when you leave a message on our listener response hotline, I do not return those calls unless you ask me to. And then I will be happy to do that, by the way. So you can call me at 1-805-314-2114. I'm going to give you that number again in just a moment. Let's meet on the mall, the National Mall, May the 17th in 2026, and let's be there for the dedication of America anew as one nation under God. And understand the extreme, extraordinary significance of that event. You can call me at 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m. Go to God's War 2020.com.